Hi, I'm Carrie Butler, and you're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. I have a special offer for my listeners. You can get my new course at carriebutlercoach.com/Broadway Podcast.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than they're worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is Carrie Butler. Welcome to Breaking Broadway, an insider's guide to making it on Broadway. I get to meet a lot of aspiring performers at the stage door and through social media, and their biggest question is, how do I make it on Broadway? Well, lean in. I am going to give you the answer. There is no one answer. Everyone's journey is different. It's not something I can answer in one DM, and that is why I started this podcast. I'm going to give you tips from all different kinds of professionals, insider tips to help you find your way. So put on your dance belts, people. Here we go.
Once I played a Penny who just couldn't stop the beat. Yes, with roller skates on her feet. A girl who loved to bees. A ghost is recently deceased.
Hi, welcome to Breaking Broadway with Carrie Butler. And today I am so excited for my guests because this is the question you all ask me like a million times a day on my Instagram page. So today we have the manager, Jen Namoff, manager to the stars, and my agent, Tim Marshall, who is with Stuart Talent. Oh, and Jen, your company is
Soffer Namoff.
Okay, great. Thank you. So first, who would like to start and tell their story about how they got into this business?
I guess that's me.
Okay, great.
Hi, Carrie Butler.
Hello.
So how did I start in this business? You know, I grew up 20 minutes outside of Manhattan. So
where?
In New Jersey.
Yes.
Northern Jersey. So I'm a Jersey boy.
Yes, love it.
It's funny, my dad had season tickets to every sporting event, you know, the Yankees, the Devils, the Nets, And my brother was a big sports guy. He was a year older than me. And I tolerated it. But, you know, my mother and my grandmother, you know, spent their whole lives going to Broadway shows. So when I was a little boy, they started bringing me. So at the age of 5, I started going to Broadway shows.
Maybe, what was your first show?
Probably The Tap Dance Kid.
Oh.
Back in the day. What really, all my friends know this and they make fun of me. The big one that, you know, I really took a liking to was Starlight Express.
Oh, yes,
which
of course.
Is hysterical.
I saw that too.
And, you know, it's, you know, Andrea McArdle, Jane Krakowski, all yeah. these, you know, great actors who were in it. But, I mean, my grandmother probably took me 10 times. And wow. we always sat in the extra special seats which were in the middle of
yes.
the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have my ticket stub.
Aww.
And those were the really expensive seats of $47.50.
mm-hmm.
So really, you know, twice a month.
Wow.
We would, at least twice a month, we would come and see a Broadway show. And I, you know, for a brief second thought I wanted to be an actor. And then I realized it just wasn't for me. I was in college, and one of our professors had someone come in and talk to us who was on Broadway at the time. And she said, if you can think of anything else to do in this business, do it.
So
and
smart.
We all heard that
yes.
a million times.
So true.
And it was so visual for me because I almost saw those words float over everyone's head. Mm-hmm. And for me, it smacked me in the face. I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, I can think of other things I want to do. I graduated college with an arts administration degree and a performance degree, but I knew I didn't want to perform. But I knew I wanted to be an agent, you know, maybe
wow.
a casting director, but the agent world always interested me. But I wanted to have that experience of saying I auditioned for a Broadway show. So I went to an open call of Once Upon a Mattress, that revival they were doing with Sarah Jessica Parker.
Wow. Oh.
And I wasn't union. I wasn't going to get in, but I took my beach chair and I waited for hours, wow. hours and hours. And I finally got in at the tail end of the day and I sang my 8 bars. But before I started, I said to the person behind the desk, I said, I'm just doing this for experience. I don't really need or want the job. And all of a sudden, this guy who was in the back corner of the room turned around and he said, oh, I got to hear this. It happened to be, just coincidentally, the director, Jerry Gutierrez, who has now passed away. And he heard me sing my 8 bars and he said, I have great news for you. And I said, you do? And he goes, yeah, you didn't get it. But on my resume throughout college, I had interned at places like Saturday Night Live and Sam French, all these different places. And he said, are you looking to get into production? And I said, yes. He set me up with an interview with Dodger Productions.
That's amazing.
And at the time they had The King and I, Once Upon a Mattress, Forum, Titanic. They had a bunch of shows. So I really got into the company management world. And
wow.
I did that for a couple years. And I went over and worked for Richard Frankel for a while. But I just knew I would hear these general managers on the phone negotiating mm-hmm. contracts with agents. And I'd be like, no, the agent's right. The agent should be getting that. And I'm like, I'm on the wrong side. So an actor that I was working with as a company manager set me up with the agency that he was represented with. I was with that agency for 15 years. And then now I've been with Stuart Talent for 7 years. So that's a very long-winded story of how I
but
got into
this
business.
That's great that you have that other experience. You were on the other side of the table.
And
so
I
that's
love
why
it.
You're a good
and
agent.
I love negotiating contracts. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a passion and I do see both sides of
yes.
it. You know, and you know, I always say at the end of the day, everyone should be unhappy with the contract. That's probably where you should land.
Yeah. And Jen?
Yes. My story is a little similar, but not really. I mean, I definitely thought for a minute I was going to be an actor. Never did it professionally. Got the headshots, and they still are in a box somewhere. Came to New York and just kind of felt like, well, actually I went to Syracuse for musical theater and theater.
Oh.
And then just realized I was more of a putting the pieces together and couldn't really kind of be in the moment and be an actor. I was too busy trying to like choreograph the scene, mm-hmm. which is essentially what I do now. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, well, let me try to see what else is out there. You know, started interning Judy Henderson casting.
Oh, yeah.
It was my first job right out of school with Judy and Kim. And then worked at the Roundabout for a little brief stint. And then someone said, you should, you know, get an intern at a talent agency. And I thought, that sounds, I don't know if I want to do that. I, you know, I was an actor. I don't know if I could do that. Cut to, I was there for 4 years and loved working with actors, but was not an agent. Just wasn't, didn't feel like me. And I definitely started getting excited about producing and, you know, produced a couple concerts and albums and started really getting excited about the creative side with the artist. So that kind of led me to, people were like, well, you love working with actors, go be a manager. I was like, oh, okay. Let me just see what that's like. And so I ended up leaving, I guess I was 27 at the time. Yeah. And just kind of became a manager. Just decided I'm going to do it. Opened up a company with a manager I work with.
I know Jeff. I love him.
Well, yes. Jeff Soffer, who I adore to pieces. That was, well, I guess 2012 is when we opened up Soffer Namoff.
And since we're on you right now, what are the differences for our audience between an agent and a manager? Like, why would someone need one?
I mean, I think it kind of depends on it's very personal. You know, some people might say, I want a full team, you know, right out of school. That's what I want a manager to kind of be a little bit more explain. Okay, I want to wear this. Or
look, hold your hand.
Yeah, right. You have less clients in theory.
That's right.
So I think wouldn't you say that's kind of like the main.
In theory, yeah.
You have less clients and, you know, you work with the agent and kind of everybody does their role and that's what makes the best team. But, you know,
for people starting out, you'll also help them get an agent if they can't get an agent.
Exactly. So some, you know, if I work with someone that maybe hadn't met an agency yet, you know, we'll set up those meetings or if at the time find a publicist, you know, it depends on, or a lawyer, you know, kind of be the quote unquote leader of the team and help, you know, bring on everybody else.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm not a manager, but I think there's a misconception amongst especially young actors, maybe right out of school, that they have this idea that I need a career to manage before I get a manager.
Right.
And I think it's a very, again, personal decision, but I think it's a trap because I think a really good manager knows the difference between what a manager and an agent does. And a manager can really get you off on the right, on the right track here.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't, I just hear a lot of young actors say that. And I just wanted to say, I think that that's a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. So how do you guys find clients? That is what everyone wants to know.
I just find Tim Marshall's clients.
Right.
I think it's kind of a combination, you know. For me, it's I just find actors that I am really excited by and as people and talent and then want to work with them, or agent referrals, or sometimes out of school.
Yeah, you go to the school showcases.
A couple of them, yeah. So kind of it's all over the place. I would say
it is all over the place. And, you know, every agency, I'll just speak in the agency world, every agency is different, you know, of how many developmental clients they want on their list. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, we are not interested in having 500 clients on our list. We pride ourselves that we keep a tight, exclusive list. Mm-hmm. Because if you add someone, that takes time away from who you've already made that commitment to. Mm-hmm. But we really what it comes down to is, am I going to be additive? Am I going to change the equation for that actor? I was just talking to you about it, actually. Yeah. I remember back in the 90s, a lot of agencies would be like, are you a Roger or a Mark? And nowadays it's, are you Elphaba or are you Glinda? Oh. I'm just talking musical theater right now, obviously. Yeah. And that's for me, that's a super boring way to work. I do consider myself an artist of sorts, and I represent artists. And if I'm looking to plug someone into the hot show this year, that's a very short-term way of doing business. And when I sign someone, I really do envision them staying with me their entire career. And I've been very lucky in that way. I've represented people for, you know, close to 20 years at this point. And so when
I think that makes you one of the really good ones, though, because I don't think everybody is like that.
Right. I mean, thank you. That's nice. But it's also important. And some people, you know, I add the personal aspect to it. And always when I'm sitting in front of an actor and I say, you know, I'm thinking, do I want to sign this person? Do I not want to sign this person? I'm very old school and I get on the phone often. I like being on the phone. And if I can envision myself wanting to talk to that person on the phone often, then they're not the right actor for me.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
So they could be the best actor you've ever seen. And if you don't feel like you would gel with them as a person, then you wouldn't.
I have to add the 100%. Human element.
Yeah.
You know, because if not, almost everyone I meet is talented. It's not about talent.
Yeah.
It's really for me about a personal connection and adding that human element so that when I'm calling the casting director or producer or director and I'm talking about my client, you know, I should never play poker. I have a really bad poker face. So they know if I'm excited about someone or not. They know if I'm passionate about that actor. And it also, if anyone looks at my client list, I think everyone is also very different and unique. Mm-hmm. So when I may be talking about you, Carrie, for one role and another actor for that same role, but it's a completely different conversation.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like I have anyone like Carrie Butler. Mm-hmm. So that also is a big...
Well, who is really?
There's no one like Carrie Butler.
I mean, really, exactly.
I was just going to say, there's only one.
I didn't want to state the obvious. But it is important. So how do I hear about these, you know, how do I meet people? At this point, very often through referral, through managers, again, casting directors. It really, if a casting director ever calls, you know, there's a respect there that, of course,
for
I'm
sure.
going to say yes, mm-hmm. and I respect their taste. And if they think I might be the right match for them, I'm going to take the meeting. It doesn't mean I'm going to sign them, but there's just a respect there. But, you know, I also think it's important for, especially, I'll go back to young actors, find out who the assistants are in certain offices, and maybe someone who just got promoted to an agent. You know, I have a young agent in my office who's looking to build his list and looking to build his reputation.
That's a great point.
Those are the people that you should target, because people that have more of a solidified list, they're probably going to be a bit more picky. So just to be blunt, if anyone sends me a picture and resume in the mail, which doesn't happen that often anymore.
Doesn't.
It's, I guess, or email. I don't even open it. It's just delete.
Wow.
Instagram
DM. Which
is
not a thing.
So people shouldn't even bother sending their wasting the money.
Stuff. No.
Okay.
It's a lot of time. It's a lot of effort. I get that. Mm-hmm. If you're sending a hard copy of a picture again, which not many people do, it's money, you know, but as far as unsolicited
email, so how would they
email,
find the new agents? Is it in the Ross reports? Is that where?
is there a Ross Reports
anymore?
I don't
even know if that still exists.
Yeah.
There's, I think, like Variety, that they have their
databases. IMDb.
IMDb Pro, I would say, is the one where you can kind of find out who reps who.
Okay.
You know, which I always tell them, like, do your research, find out the careers that you want, people that you want to be rep by, and kind of look them up. And that's how you know what agencies are out there, what managers are out there.
That's really smart. Yeah.
I truly believe there, you know, again, every agency is different and they work differently. And there's not necessarily a right way of working and a wrong way of working. It's just very different. So I think it's, I think I've even said this too, it's important to take that word representation literally. Is that agent, is that manager saying what should be said in the manner it should be said, to whom it should be said to, but especially in the way that represents who you are as a person?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm never going to call a producer or a general manager and scream and yell at them when I'm talking about you, because that's not who you are.
Right?
I'm an extension of your voice in a way.
Uh-huh.
And I'll leave it. I'll leave it there. You know,
let's go further.
I may not scream and yell, but I'll definitely voice my opinion. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
That's amazing.
So for the people just starting out, can you think of any way that they could get in front of you? You know, if say they didn't get any responses at their theater showcase. So if you go to college, make sure, I always say, make sure you go to a college that has a showcase, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
That's a showcase for agents.
Right.
And so say they don't get a response, an agent from their showcase. Is it really like they have to be get through the open calls, or is there a way that they could get in front of you?
I think it's a combination. I mean, obviously, I think the more you audition, the more you get out there and get in front of casting directors, the more, you know, they'll refer, you know, the special talent to us. But also they have great things like one-on-one and, mm-hmm. you know, where you can meet Tim or myself and other agents and managers and casting directors.
Yes.
I feel like there's a bunch of those.
Even when I was, you know, successful, I've already been on Broadway, I would go to those mm-hmm. one-on-ones or actor connections just because people would put me in, pigeonhole me as a musical theater person.
Right.
So the people who I couldn't get in the room with, I would go, you know, you're basically paying for an audition, but you do get uh-huh. something out of it.
Yep.
They'll give you advice. And a lot of times they'll keep track of uh-huh. those people and then call them in when they're right for something.
Absolutely.
For sure.
You know, I think as far as showcase is concerned, if you don't get the response that you want out of showcase, actors think it's the end of the world, and mm-hmm. it just isn't.
Oh,
isn't.
Good.
I can think of, and I
tons.
There's
yeah.
tons of actors, really successful actors, who have the story of saying, I got zero response.
Yeah. Wow.
And I think you're in is really through then a casting director.
Mm-hmm.
Start auditioning, start going to open calls. The work will speak for itself. You don't need to book the job in order to make an impression.
Right.
And a casting director will then call and say, hey, they just are out of Carnegie Mellon and they didn't get any response. They're well-trained. I've seen them audition for a few things. I think you should take a second look.
Right.
Because, you know, showcase is very tricky. You get 3 minutes mm-hmm. to make an impression and to stand out. It's an uphill battle
mm-hmm.
and nerves play a big part in it.
Right.
And I mean, I remember there's specifically one actor went to a very credited school, did not get a single response. Craig Burns mm-hmm. called and said, I think you need to meet this person.
Wow.
And I mean, now this person is a very successful actor. And I did meet them and I saw something else. I connected on a personal level. We signed her, and I mean, she's a nonstop working actor. So
right.
You just have to trust in the process and really understand that it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Mm-hmm. Really good point.
It also kind of depends on the time of year, because there have been years where I'm like this, I'm slammed this year. I can't even think about signing someone out of showcase. And that has nothing to do with the talent being good or bad. It's just where I'm at. So you might have the same year where you're like, we have so many of that type. We're not, you know, and it's not about the talent or how good they are. It's just about timing.
Right.
Is there a certain quality that you look for in, like, when you're looking for a new client besides personality, like you said?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. Obviously, the personal connection, the talent, of course, but willingness to be open to learning and listening, and a real team player aspect for me is really important. Mm-hmm. Because it is, you know, it's a collaboration and it's a journey, and they have to be, you know, game for that. Mm-hmm. So that's for me really important.
Yeah, it's really just about wanting to having that desire to invest in someone. And whether you're meeting someone with 20, 30 years of experience in the business, that takes a certain amount of energy and focus, or someone right out of school who, you know, you're using this jargon and this lingo and they have no idea what that means. And you're like, all right, slow down. They don't understand what I'm talking about. And this conversation is now going to be 20 minutes longer than it needs to be. But what we do is not brain surgery, but it, I do take it seriously when someone gives me a piece of what they do and they say, here, I'm entrusting you with my career and what I'm doing. So in return, that they deserve my time and my attention. And especially someone out of, you know, undergrad program, they're so green. And green
only, that's what the podcast is for.
Right. Yeah.
And no, it's so, you great.
Know, green does not mean bad or any, it's just new. Green means new.
Yeah.
So you have to take the time and be like, all right, you're going in for this casting director. This is what you should expect.
Yeah.
Tomorrow you're going in for this person. This is what you should expect. And just those little tools when it help, because then they're not caught off guard. And be
so
like,
what are the things that you have to explain? Just like sign in on the sheet? Do you have to go that far? Or
no, it's more everything. Maybe about a personality, you know, of like, you know, just a personality of like what to expect when you walk in the room.
Uh-huh.
You know, we all bring ourselves into the room, you know, into any conversation. And that's what casting directors do. That's what producers do, directors, you know, and some, you know, some rooms are going to be warmer than others, and they just don't have the time to add, to be personal, like just go in and do your work.
Right.
It's these sorts of conversations that can help set up an actor.
What not to wear. Yeah. All those kind of things.
So now say
that I love a manager for, because it's like,
I feel like that's sort of
hair, makeup, all of that can tip
photos,
the scale. Right.
You know, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So say you want to work with someone, do you freelance? Do you sign them right away? How does that?
I definitely don't.
Definitely don't freelance.
For me, it's like marriage. You know, I have to see myself wanting to work with you your whole career. Mm-hmm. And a lot of, you know, most of my clients, it's over a decade, you know, so it's a real investment. So I take it very seriously. You know, sometimes it takes a minute. I'm like, yes, I have to work with this person, or it's like, you know, let's meet a little bit more and let's get to know each other. And I want to see more of your work. And so it's kind of a combination, I would say.
Yeah. It's I won't freelance.
No.
It's all in or nothing.
Yeah. But some agents do, right? Or is, what do you think about that?
I mean, I'm sure some do.
I'm sure some do.
But I don't know who those agencies are.
I
don't
know.
Freelance would mean that they're not signing you right away and they're kind of sending you out. Seeing how you do.
Seeing
and then if you get good feedback or something like that, then they will eventually hopefully sign you.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if agencies still do that or not.
They did when I started out. I knew that agencies would do that, but
yeah, and I would hear from actors about having to be cleared and doing all of that.
Oh, yes, that's right. Because you could freelance with more than one agent then, if you're not signed.
Sounds messy.
Yeah,
to me.
I think it's less and less now.
Okay,
I think I haven't heard of anybody doing it recently.
Okay, so what are the big mistakes that people make, actors make? What are your pet peeves?
For me, it's when I'm meeting a young actor and they are sort of act like they know everything.
Uh-huh.
And they're like telling me how it's supposed to be done. And I'm like, okay, I respect that. But that's not as collaborative.
Right.
And so that's sort of, you know, a red flag for me, or just, okay, well, you know it, so you're not going to be open to experience and conversation. So, you know, that's, I feel like that's the big one for me.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it for me also. And you know, as far as a client, a new client is concerned, if you were to get an agent. And I think a lot of actors make the mistake of doing this when they switch agencies, maybe, of maybe they weren't feeling well taken care of, so that they've kind of taken over the manager job of their own career. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't need anyone sending me a breakdown, you know, saying, hey, I saw this.
Right.
There's got to be a trust factor there. Mm-hmm. But really, it's about communication, but it has to make sense also. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, I think that's just kind of it.
Yeah. I feel like we're both the same. We just want to be around good people.
Right.
Can people call you and say, oh, I heard this is happening, I feel like I'm perfect for it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's more about an energy. Mm-hmm. It's more about an energy. If, like, if I'm feeling that you're not trusting what I'm bringing to the table, then we're probably not the right match.
Mm-hmm. Trust is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also rely on actors for information. You know, you're all part of this business as well.
Right. So that's what I was just going to ask you. Do you feel like how important it is for an actor to know themselves and know the parts that they're right for?
Very important. And I think that's sometimes also going back to signing, if somebody's like, I think that I'm so-and-so, but they're not anywhere near that.
Yes.
That's a big discrepancy. And so it's usually not a good fit, because you want to be on the same page in terms of, like, how I'm going to talk about you in the business versus how you think you're supposed to be spoken about.
Right.
So I think that's really important to make sure it's,
and you know.
We just met with someone, and at the end of the meeting, we were floored at what roles they thought that they were right for. Mm. It was shocking, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, I really want actors to be open to more than just the no-brainers. And I ask that all the time of, like, great, I understand what's the center of your wheelhouse, mm-hmm. but what are the spokes?
Yeah.
You know, where can we branch out? Because what I love about building a career is when that announcement goes out, whether it's theater, TV, or film, of, I love it when someone says, they got that role.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, just wait. You have no idea what's in store.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't come out of the blue. Like, for, let's say, if it's you and I, like, we have probably been talking about that sort of role for mm-hmm. a while. And so it doesn't come out of the blue for us, but surprising the industry, keeping them on their toes, is always really exciting. So when you go from one project to another and has nothing, mm-hmm. no similarity, right. that's really exciting.
Yeah, I love doing that too.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Keep shocking the industry.
Right, that's right.
Cool. What advice do you have for young performers?
You gotta eat, drink, sleep, all of it, you know,
really?
Give your all. Just be kind. I think that's huge. I think that it's so easy to get wrapped up in yourself and treat people like shit. And that's just, people find out about that, you know?
Mm.
And like we said, it's so much about an energy. And I don't want to work with someone who's not, you know, enjoying and happy to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's a big thing.
I agree with that. And honestly, I'll give the advice that I was given. If you can think of anything else to do, you should explore that, because being an actor, it's a tough business. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a successful actor has a 90% rejection rate.
Yeah.
And I know I don't have that in me. Like, I would never want to be part of that. But I am good at being a part of that. Does mm-hmm. that does mm-hmm. that make sense? You know, at this point, giving bad news to an actor, it happens many, many times a day for me. So I've just gotten used to that. But for me, if I were being told that over and over, that's just not part of my DNA. But I do think someone who's in this business, in it for the long haul, it is part of their DNA.
Yes.
I think being an actor is one of those, it's just part of who you are. It's like being a doctor or being a lawyer. It's like, I see a real actor say, I'm done. I'm out of this business and I'm going to leave. I'm like, you'll be back.
You'll be back.
You'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when an actor says, I got to go, I'm going to leave the business, I'm like, yeah.
Go for it.
Go for it. You should explore that. Because it is, it's a small percentage of people who are really made for it.
Yeah. I always, when I talk to colleges or something, I always say, it's not necessarily your talent. It's how well you can handle rejection.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
It's true.
Because you're just beaten down all the time. And if you can let that roll off your back then and not let it affect your work and everything, then you have a better chance of making it.
I think there's an art in how you walk in a room too.
really good point.
Yeah. And how you, what you like, how you carry yourself.
Yes.
You know, I think that's something I spend a lot of my day talking to actors about.
Really?
You know, that's kind of preparing them mentally. And because, you know, people want to work, like they want to work with the people that walk in and they're excited and they're not over eager, but they kind of know themselves and know their worth, which of course is like, we all deal with that every day. But I think that's a huge thing. And also creating your own projects.
I think that's a good point.
Really important, you know. I work with a lot of actors that love to create their own web series or podcasts or things to stay creative and stay active in the business. And I think it's social media and all that. It's easier to do that now.
Yeah.
So I feel like that keeps you.
Speaking of that, if someone did create something, say a cabaret or something downtown, would there be a chance that they could get you guys to go see it? How would they even, you know, try and do something like that, get agents to come see a show that they created?
I think you have to be specific of who you're targeting.
Right.
You know, again, it kind of goes back to find out who the newer agents are.
Right. So try and get the newer agents to go see.
Who's building their list. And honestly, even my assistant, who is an extension of me, I mean, she finishes my sentences at this point. Find out who that is.
Right.
You know, she wants to be an agent one day. Mm-hmm. So if she came back to my office and said, hey, I went down to a cabaret last night and I saw this amazing person I really think you should meet, I wouldn't even blink. I would meet that person.
For sure.
Mm. Okay. That's a really, really good, helpful tip.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Well, I think that is, you guys helped our audience so much. That was such great advice. Thank you so much for
being here.
Thanks, Carrie Butler.
Thank you for going out of your comfort zone to my podcast.
I'm such a fangirl here.
Yeah, right.
Oh, you guys were amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thank you so much for listening to Breaking Broadway, produced by Dori Berenstein, edited by Alan Seals, opening song by Aaron Accurso and Joey Mazzarino. If you like this podcast and want to hear more, please like, leave a comment, or share with your friends. See you next time for more insider tips to making it on Broadway.
Together, you and I are brave.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.